This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with Tim Henney. Well, we've talked food, and talking food and Thanksgiving makes me think about what we put with it. And it's so fun to talk about beverage with none other than Kirsten Fox, the founder and owner of the Fox School of Wine. She's joining us in the studio to talk about how to pair wines and other beverages, perhaps, with Thanksgiving dinner. Good morning to you.
Morning, Lynn and Tim. Thanks for having me.
This is sort of our annual deal that we do with you, and it's always so much fun.
This is now a tradition.
Oh, good. I'm all about this. I mean, I have no problem coming in and talking about wine any time with you guys. But I do have to clarify, Lynn, I am the headmistress. Yeah, owner
right.
Just sounds so boring. So remember, I can give detention.
And mistress sounds kind of exciting.
I mean, definitely. Like, yeah, I've had people propose things on Facebook that shouldn't be proposed. But anyway, no. Anyway, so here we're talking about Thanksgiving wines, and you don't need a lot of room to fit the wine around the turkey and the
right
and the mashed potatoes.
Well, you know, it starts so much earlier than Thanksgiving dinner because, as we know, that cooking is so much fun when you have a glass of wine there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always think about, even though I usually don't get a sparkling wine, that's what I think about. Is that a correct thought? And am I thinking that because you've told us that 3 or 4 years in a row?
Wow. Is something actually sticking? Are we finally at a point where something is sticking? I'm so excited. Yes, actually, one way or another, you're coming up with a great wine to start with. In fact, was going to suggest sparkling wine. Specifically, in this case, we have never really talked about rosés in the sparkling wine category. And it's such a fun type of a wine because it brings in some of the aromas and flavors of the berries of the season. You know, we got cranberries. So you've got a lot of fun berry kind of overtones to a glass of sparkling wine when often we're drinking a regular Brut sparkling wine, which is not got those berry characteristics in it. It's usually just, I get a lot of brioche or bready characteristics, you know, some nice apple and pear usually from a normal Brut, but the Brut Rosé is the same style of dry wine, but it has these nice berries and it's slightly pink or golden, that kind of color, and it's just beautiful to start out a meal. Yeah, I know.
Are rosés kind of in fad right now? Is there something
gosh.
Going on with rosés? Because
where have you been?
It is crazy, Tim. You're actually
well. Look, if it's finally permeating all the way to me,
Tim Henney in Park City
has heard of rosés and has actually had a glass or two in the last year.
Awesome. Well, it's gotten that big. So yes, in fact, Nielsen in 2017. Nielsen reported that sales of rosés in 2 years had jumped 53%. And they also did a study, and they are estimating that 25% of all the imported rosés are being consumed just in New York City. They never even make it out of New York City.
Oh, those New Yorkers.
Just are drinking.
They get everything first.
They get it all. We have a lot. They have brosé night for the dudes that want to drink rosé.
No.
They have frosés during the summer. I mean, it is a whole new verbiage that you have to use.
Tim, you could do this. You could start a
rosé night
class here.
I might do that. Is it because the rosé wines have come into their own? Is that what's going on? I mean, I don't understand why in 2017 Nielsen would have said, hey, rosés have arrived.
It's pretty crazy. But I think the population of the millennials in particular are very adventurous wine drinkers, where many of those in previous generations, I will not call us out on our generation, but many of those would just order the norm. Like, hey, you know, I know I'm going to like a Chardonnay, so I'm just going to order a Chardonnay.
Right.
The millennials, they broke all of that open, and we're starting to order the Grüner Veltliners and the random wines like Terroldego from Italy that are, they're like, whatever, it's a glass of wine. I'm good with that. My friends and I can split a bottle. So with that, the rosé out of Europe, they, I mean, Europe's been drinking them for, you know, millennia.
Forever.
But we finally got on that bandwagon here.
Yay. So,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
Sparkling rosé. It sounds great. Mm-hmm. It might complement your cranberry sauce.
Yeah. And while you're cooking, so a couple things I would say about this is, number one, you can always greet people that are coming over with a glass of sparkling rosé. And if they're kids, greet them with a glass of Martinelli's. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just so festive. And then if you put a few little cranberries in the bottom of a glass, it's just, if you can see through the glass, it's mm-hmm. a beautiful presentation as well. So I did look up online on the DABC website, which is highly useful. Believe it or not, I'm not kidding you. I'm touting the DABC website for searching for products. But there was, for example, like there are Brut Cavas that are rosés that mm-hmm. are in the $9 to $11 per bottle range. And then if you go up into 1920, there's like a Gloria Farrar. Brut Rosé is also known as Blanc de Noir or Blanc de Noir. Mm-hmm. So it's a, that kind of is, it means the same thing. So Gloria Farrar has a Blanc de Noir, $19. And then certainly you can pop up to Schramsberg, which is one of the quintessential producers out of California. And they've got a Brut Rosé and that's at $45 a bottle. So a lot of great options, depending on your pocketbook.
That sounds great. Cava. That is Spanish.
Yes.
And is it necessarily pink in color?
No.
No.
It's all, you would need to buy a cava that has rosé or rosado after it. Mm-hmm. That would be saying it's a pink.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on to dinner then, maybe. Or are we there yet?
Oh,
are we?
I just can't wait till tomorrow when I'm piling a plate. Hi. They're just, I don't know what happens, but it's like my normal, that's enough.
Trigger.
It doesn't get fired. I'm just like, there is no stoppage. It just continues. So I would say my go-to wine, if it's a white wine at Thanksgiving, is called Viognier. And that, I'm going to spell that. It's V-I-O-G-N-I-E-R. Mm-hmm. Viognier. I tend to go with that because it's not Chardonnay, but it is a very big, full-bodied, voluptuous wine that has enough palate weight to stand up to the stuffings and the butter on the fresh-made biscuits and the turkey with the gravy on it. So a Viognier, they're grown around the world. Australia is known for Viognier specifically, and a woman named Louisa Rose there has been the leader of establishing Viognier there in Australia, and they have been getting awards. She works at a winery called Yalumba, they have a variety of different price points on their Viogniers. And again, there are Viogniers that are $9, and then there's an organic Viognier called made by Bonterra, and it's 14, and then you can get up in Utah here to Pride Mountain out of Napa, and they're throwing out a Viognier for about $42 a bottle. So,
but you don't go to the Australian section to find the Viognier.
Yeah, you actually would.
That's where you would go if you were going down the aisles?
You know, it depends. Mm. Actually, I should say, Tim, good question, because if you're looking for Louisa Rose's wines out of Yalumba, that's an Australian winery, you would look in the Australian section. Viognier itself, if it's not primarily from another country, it's, you know, more of a new world, like U.S., that kind of thing, you're going to look in the, I think they've got it in Viognier or Chenin Blanc area. If you walk in the big liquor store here, it's far to the left, close to the sparkling wine. And that's where you'd look for that in our liquor store here, the big one. I don't know where they are in the little ones. They're stuffed into corners if they've got them.
So what is it that you like about the Viognier as it pairs with whatever dish that you're eating?
So for me, the Viognier, although the Viognier in terms of aromas and flavors comes across much more with peach and pear and flowers. I mean, it's a very voluptuous wine. It's more about the body weight, because when I'm eating a bite of turkey with gravy, I mean, I try to do the stacked kind of everything on the fork,
one fork.
Which is probably why I lose my little limit quickly. But the Viognier has enough body style. So think of body style like milk. So think about skim milk, whole milk, and cream.
I don't even like to think about skim milk.
Exactly, right? Because it's just... We used to call it blue milk in our family because it looks kind of blue tinge. But it's so light that it's gone from your palate almost immediately. Super light. Then whole milk obviously has got some body to it. Even 2% has some body to it. Mm-hmm. And it stays in your mouth so that when you bring the cookie into your mouth after you've had the sip of the milk.
Because
that's what you do. You're going to have that flavor of that creaminess of the milk. And then certainly cream's got even more body weight. So in this case, Viognier is closer to that cream, that high level of weight in your mouth to stay in your palate, on your palate, when you're bringing that bite of food in. So it's more about the weight for me than the particular pairing of it in terms of its aromas and flavors and that.
Mm. Sounds like it would go well with lobster.
Ooh, yes.
Mm. So if anybody's having lobster for Thanksgiving, please invite me and I'll bring some Viognier.
Sounds fabulous.
That would be a delicious way to make your Thanksgiving dinner. Mm-hmm. Mm, I'm liking that. What about a lobster stuffed turkey?
Oh, right.
We talk about stuffing things with Eileen Dunn, who's our other tradition, of course.
Oh, goodness. She would be the one. Have you guys talked about the turducken then?
Yes.
Yes.
The turducken. Okay. Well, we've got just a few minutes left, so let's move on to your third wine that you have. Would this be a dessert wine? No. This is just the red that
we
would...
I actually learned about this wine from a fellow wine school owner named Jimmy Santangelo. He owns the Wine Academy of Utah down in Salt Lake.
Wonderful guy.
Such a great guy. So we're actually doing a little radio show together called The Twisted Cork. And so you can find us on KCAT Radio and also podcast. For a little plug there.
You might as well, the Twisted Cork, because you don't do enough things.
Yeah, fun. Well, I was just envious of you guys, and, you know, you started me on my radio path, so I needed to find an outlet, right?
Yes.
So he introduced me to a pasta gras, which is a blend of two grapes out of the northern part of Beaujolais. So Beaujolais abuts Burgundy. The grape that grows in Burgundy is Pinot Noir, and they used to grow Gamay in Burgundy as well. Gamay is another red grape, a lesser grape if you look at the world of snobby wine people. Mm-hmm. But Gamay now has kind of been forced down into the Beaujolais area that specializes in Gamay. And this area allows the blending of both the Gamay and the Pinot Noir, both of which are selections you'll see on lists left and right for great Thanksgiving wines. So rather than recommend one or the other, I thought, what a fun wine for Thanksgiving to recommend this pasta gras. And that's spelled for our non-French speakers, because this is going to be nothing like it sounds. PASSETOUT-GRAINS. And from that, you just slur your words and get pasta gras. Yeah. But anyway, he brought in this wine called Pence, made by Pence, P-E-N-S-E, excuse me, C-E. They just call theirs PTG for the name.
PTG.
And it is a blend of 2/3 Gamay and 1/3 Pinot Noir. Gamay lends its fruitiness, its floralness, and then the Pinot Noir adds a deeper fruit and the earthiness. And it was just such an amazing wine. It is out of the Santa Rita Hills. This is actually a PTG wine made in California. They've followed this.
Where's Santa Rita?
Santa Rita Hills is in the kind of central upper part of California, In the Central Coast area there.
Oh, okay.
In the, but
okay,
in the
like north of Paso Robles.
Yes,
okay.
And in the hills there. Mm-hmm. It's a, oh, they produce so many great wines.
Mm.
And this sets you back $26.
Sounds
it's got
fun.
What I got out of it was this cherry cola kind of background, which it was so deep, pomegranate, black pepper. I mean, I just fell in love with this wine.
How did you know it tasted like cherry cola?
Because I used to drink cherry colas as a kid. With, you know, Coke with grenadine in it. I loved that. And then you'd even drink it when it got a little flat, and then it was not as good, but I even did that. Yeah, that was about the only sugar I was allowed to have as a kid.
Well, just by nature of the fact that you mentioned that millennials, and I want to be one of them,
yeah,
that they're adventuresome when it comes to their wine. The wines that you've mentioned today, I'm going to make a break from my really hearty, large cabs that I always seem to drink. And I'm going to maybe go PTG. I might have to take a photo of how you spell that, though. But what a wonderful couple of wines. So quickly, again, let's just review these. The sparkling rosé.
Sparkling rosé. There are, I would, if you're on a budget, look to the cava section. And then there are plenty of rosés. And also Blanc de Noir is the other mm-hmm. word for those. Then we go to Viognier as my suggested white for Thanksgiving. Voluptuous. And Australia is a great place to start.
She's used that word three times
yes,
in this interview.
Is,
I
like
love
a heady,
that word.
Oh, man,
voluptuous.
This glass. Mm.
I'm a fan of voluptuous.
You're all about that? Okay. And that start in Australia, maybe, or look in the Viognier section of the liquor store. And then the third wine was this Passe de Gras, which I am completely, I'm sorry for any French speakers out there, I completely am abusing that word. Pence, P-E-N-C-E, makes a PTG out of Santa Rita Hills. It's probably in the red blend section of our liquor store where it's kind of odd. They don't know where to put it. So it's probably in that red blend with the Meritage and that kind of area.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, Kirsten Fox, headmistress of the Fox School of Wine, thanks for joining us. And I'm excited about your radio show. I'm glad we inspired you.
Well, you guys were having so much fun. I gave Jimmy Santangelo a call and said, what are you doing? Like, we need to talk wine.
Yeah, do you
He's
have
like,
a
I'm up for it.
I bet you have a following in the valley.
I have absolutely no idea. We literally go in there and we drink wine and we at 10 o'clock usually in the morning and we have so much fun. We don't even care if people are
That's
following
exactly
us.
That's exactly what we do, except we start at 9.
Except,
and we don't drink wine. What are you talking about?
Well, in your coffee cups, who knows what's in there,
right? That's right. You know, I judged a Bloody Mary contest last fall, or a couple months ago, and Jimmy Santangelo was with us, helping us out. And that guy is full of personality and knowledge, and he's great. He's a good MC kind of character.
He's really got, and his accents, when he starts pulling out different accents, you know, he's got a great New York accent. He's got also Italian he brings out. So he is really fun to listen to. And I just sit there basically and laugh at him the whole show, you know, and he's great. So it's fun to work with him.
That's great. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank
you. Twisted Cork.
TwistedCorkRadio.com.
You can
find the podcast and on iTunes and all that.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving
to
you.
Thank you. I'm so excited for tomorrow.
Thanks, Kirsten.
Thank you, too.
Thanks for joining us.